Hi, and welcome to Prosody, 90.5 FM's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Lauren Wolf, guest host of Prosody, and my guest today is the poet Mike Rutel. Mike Rutel is the author of the chapbook Best Poems, published by Narrow House. He's a co-curator of the Big Mess reading series and an assistant editor for the online poetry journal Pinwheel. His poems have appeared or are forthcoming in Coconut, IO, Jellyfish, Forklift, Ohio, and No. He lives in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to have you on the show. Would you like to begin by reading some poems for us?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one's called Best Architecture. I changed my shirt and invent a dream, and it is nothing like a radio or the touching contained inside a suspended bridge, which is nothing like a real isthmus. In any moment, what matters is always which way one needs to turn in order to ask, do I look good in this shirt, which is another way of asking if the tomatoes are defined by their flower or their fruit. Sometimes a person is standing in a supermarket, or it is you, and you are inventing the opposite of the fruit in your hand, which is the fruit in your mouth, and that fruit is inventing your mouth, which is a kind of flower, a circuitry of teeth, a catalog with photos of beautiful women, and suitcases and their descriptions. Somewhere there's an official description. Somewhere the leaves are no longer leaves, but hands. With handfuls of washers, one runs as a storm gathers over a beach. People buy commemorative t-shirts as someone cuts the tails off the dolphins in the dolphinarium. I ask you how I look, and you say it is the opposite of a dream, which is not necessarily a vacuum, nor this sound container, as you see it. Best Exotic. Every gesture gets a little more difficult. I swing around attached to my difficult hands, and by chance, a blueberry might fall into my mouth. This would make me feel like one kind of beautiful. Another is the drying up of rivers. Oh, sex fleck and legs, have you seen the children folded in the corner? I keep building on top of the night. People can be happy in many other things. What they are about is a careful and careless noise, enriched star guts collapsing against each other in a violent bag. I am one kind of misunderstanding, then dynamite, then brazier factory, then both. Best Sun. The burn around my face completing, how I control a weather after a darkness with increasing pressure. A beer kites into my waiting and caliber skull. It is fine to say a little hallelujah. Big dance of sand and specks against those people, the ones with soft and danger lodged within bright receptors. Patterned, I am marching with song, no hymn, just bulging human touch. And this one's best. Tonight is the night of no sleep. Cannonballs over the playground. The cat rubs a glass frame off the mantle. Somewhere there is a woman, comfortably lost inside a small idea. You are that woman, and above you are your own best guesses. How the vehicles are doing real things. How the sun shoots its umbilical light around, straight into night. There is sound outside. It could be dandelions screaming like engines or the causeways between us. You are a small woman. I am holding on to these individually wrapped letters between the scaffold of my rib cage. All indications say I should know better by now. How much water I need to drink to drown this gangly aquifer. How much you've invested in the human body's history. How the scientists find our histories in lice. How you are a small woman and you at the same time. How my mind is not to be trusted. Not sure what I'm hearing at this very moment outside this moment I pretend you are taking for the worse. How right now I say you are dying. Small woman, how one can be so tired that one does not even wish to drink lemonade. All I have ever wanted is to stamp a message into time's oven. I make swift turns in an ocean I am always made to ride beneath. I shall not sleep tonight with all these preparations I am not authorized to make and yet make. I will dampen this sprung root, the size of a curse. I will mean the actions of greenery into your shape, the one armored in my flood, not entirely a river. All right, and this is a little, this is not a best poem. This one's called Werner Herzog, after Werner Herzog. The opening lines were stolen from him. He just writes poems as he makes documentaries. That's just ridiculous. All right, so Werner Herzog. You do not move mountains with money. You move mountains with faith. Nobody would dare to move a ship over a mountain. The driver wears a laurel coat. He is the supreme overtone director. He corrects the tiny movements of your telephonic arms. In your mild crybaby winter engagement of the past, you remember forestry. You remember turtles filled with plastic. A great machine has the potential you always knew it had. The birds swing sideways over the once and again great land. Shame, the driver's continual relation. He is never found hiding in the spaghetti squash patch where you think it would be usual to ever be found. He is never there to begin with. The patchwork and honey carry inside a great number, and you carry on in the shadow of that great number, driven hard over this river of sand.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Lauren Wolf, and my guest today is the poet Mike Krutel. So, Mike, I'm really interested in this sort of this best series that you have going on. Can you tell me a little bit about that project, the concept for it?
Yeah, the best poems started after, as somewhere near the end of finishing up my MFA. I was putting together my final thesis manuscript, and I was almost completely unhappy with how that came together, though it was a really productive period. And so I started thinking, you know, I can't write good poems, so I'm just going to write the best poems I can, and even if they're absolutely terrible, then they're still the best that I could write. And so then I just started coming up with titles, and almost all the poems came after the titles, and I would just give myself a construct to say that this is going to be the best kind of architecture or sun. And it just gave me something to jump off of and go from there. And then a lot of it kind of came together with, the poem Best, which was not the first one that I wrote, but one of the early ones. And it was, at the time that my grandmother was kind of just going downhill, and I'd never really written a poem for somebody in that manner before, but I just felt compelled to not necessarily start writing it for her, but start writing out of the feeling of that situation, because I wasn't completely downtrodden by it, but I don't know, I just finally felt compelled to write a poem in that situation, and so I wrote it, and then I think the idea of writing the best poems that you can, sort of springboarding off of little concepts here and there, started to solidify, and I started putting together the manuscript.
So what are some examples of the types of concepts that you felt were working throughout the poems? Are they architectural? Are they image-based concepts?
They weren't really concepts in that way. They're very much emotional concepts, but it would be sort of, I would come up with a title, and I knew they were always going to be like best, and I would just say, I'd walk around the house sometimes, just go best cat, best pizza, best artichoke, best cupboard door that's falling off, and sort of writing out of an emotional response to things that were kind of odd, had maybe a certain sound of language, both sort of an emotional resonance and just maybe a verbal resonance that sort of latched into me, and then try and write my way out of that situation or into that situation of that best thing, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea of trying to write yourself out of or into a situation. It's interesting. So do you see the poems as having a narrative?
No, they're very loose. Like I said, it was just like, I felt like if I'm going to do the best I can do, then that allows me to do anything. Mm-hmm. And so forget about any sort of concept or theme or any narrative that runs through the work, and just let each poem maybe be better than the last one, or better than future ones, and just sort of let it fall into place on its own.
So do you think that the series or the group of poems has a consistent voice? Is it one particular voice you have in mind for them?
I didn't have one in mind, but looking back on it, especially going through the process of having it published and thinking about it even more, once somebody was gracious enough to do that for me, I did start to notice things. I think that there is kind of consistent tone of voice. There's a lot of first person speaking out towards an other. It's not too often that it's like to a specific other, though that happens maybe from time to time for a whole poem or just in part of a poem where I'm thinking about somebody. But maybe just tone of voice and perspective, the idea that a lot of them come out of, even if I don't implicitly use the first person, a lot of them are a first person with a kind of tone of voice that's dealing with things in a certain way, but very loose in that mm-hmm. manner. Yeah.
That's great. Can you read some more poems?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'll come back to some of the best ones. And it was also just fun to say I was going to write the best poems, and how I thrive on being ridiculously audacious and silly. And so saying I was writing my best poems and have hardly ever published anything in my life, not even a full collection, was, I thought, the best way to go about. So these are some, well, I'll get back to my pinnacle in a minute. But so this one is called Spiritual Cupcake. I put my head into everything I could be doing. A small discovery, no doubt. I pulled together variations of stupidity and delight. The colors fantastic all the way down. Little piggy wee 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 pineappling home. Me in parade. My burning checkbook waves like sweet victory. The power company and friends. So many responsible parties to which no one shows up. Admittedly, a bad, bad joke. Admittedly, my head election for recall. I clamor toward the open refrigerator, one way to my heart, thinking ways to the death rattle in the hall. The food gone bad, break open some whiskey next to my phone. Eat a pound of cake like it means something I could tell someone. Then it all goes a long way, or goes away, leaving me, then you, a platform full of unfolded laundry. We rise a little to sound. The officials center on the ice. The sanitation men break liquor bottles at the end of the drive, waiting for us. We say we are ready. We are going to die, unknowing, and mean it. This is titled In the Valley of Black Limousines. And I still don't know why. But that is what it's titled. In the Valley of Black Limousines. Our bodies are like thunder, you said, then held your hand to my chest and started counting, but then, realizing that it is impossible to say yourself back in time language, the event requires a total isolation, you said, we are a system that once opened up, like really tried at, will never be seen in blue and tiny lightning a few miles across a map. That's obvious about its mapness, because where are the rocks? I don't see any. Just you, me, a woman pushing her cart around the city filled with plastic flowers and Xmas trees in July when it storms a lot, which is a reason to celebrate, because we are all very wet in failure, new and in any case clothed in vintage decorations. Plastic flowers for one weird skin, for one failure to live or failure to die. It is all very wonder confusing and fool. Either still life marble or rocketing metal, or two of us feeling riding the airport people mover hoping to never get off. I think a lot about first lines in poems, and that's almost always where I start. If I come up with a title and it's not a good good enough first line, then it's hard for me to get into writing anything, or at least a beginning point. So I decided to write a poem that was all first lines. I'm really obsessed with, sometimes I just read, I'll open random books of poetry to get going and just look at everybody's first line just to figure out how they do it. And I don't know, but somehow this worked. How to begin. People are always being dangerous, with great hope in the capital. When I return home invested in someone else's folded schematic, the flood comes and I am a great indigenous havoc. I can't seem to fit inside an average hammer. I take over the range. Yes, these kidney beans are delicious. Thank you. Hot and cellular. I multiply like air, like ptarmigans over a lake. The space between ears. The tarnishing of a million-like crowns. I hear them all whispering feathers. Someone blessed this day with household cleaners. The mountains go sailing through the waves like ships. This is not the habit of firm land. Sometimes a field and sometimes a fold. I tell it to the magnolia buds. I dress a goat in a blue striped suit. The hands are out to get folks again. Come from very far away. Can't stop my face like a faucet. Won't stop my face like a faucet. I am the circus right at the heart of disaster. The rigging stupendous. Thank you again, who locked us out the botanical garden. We intend to like it here very much. Back to the best. This is Best Monday. And some of these have been in journals, but I've forgotten which ones. Best Monday. Now I remember what we were dancing for. It hurts being this far out, I think. All the time it is trying to rain, but there isn't one cloud in the stupid sky. We just go with it. Can't break a tree against these glass panes, you say. We're not even sure what can be called a fourth wall anymore. I have always loved you in the way America can love cowboys riding to sunset with mouths full of pizza. You be the cop, I'll be the robber. Our hands become such lovely guns we put through our hair. It is difficult anymore to cross the street, but only sometimes, all these flowers exploding on demand.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Lauren Wolf, and my guest today is the poet Mike Krutel. So, Mike, I'm also intrigued by this sort of jagged pacing of your poems. You leap quite well from an image to like a philosophical idea, back to image to even humor at times. There's this interesting humor that goes on. And how do you construct that? How do you work with that type of pacing?
I'm always very drawn to and fascinated by people who write in that manner, because I don't know, I feel like it's a real extension of just how I am on a day to day, or how I see people on a day to day. So I'm always in that space where, you know, you're at work and you're making dirty jokes with one employee, and then a customer walks up and you're like, well, yes, of course, these are the best placemats that I've seen in the store for a while. Yeah, absolutely. Christmas is coming soon. You should get these for your family. And then you go right back to, you know, making gross digestive jokes about their child who is sitting in the back room. And so you're going between that and humor. And then the boss walks in and sometimes you get upset. And everything's just bouncing around. So when I'm writing a poem, a lot of times I'm paying attention to the line and trying to build off the previous one. I'll write 10 lines. I'll get that far into it. And then I'll read back over the poem and try and push it further. And I'll look at words and specific words. And as I'm looking at the specific words or lines, as I'm turning corners, sometimes I just get like really upset because I'm so frustrated that I can't think of the next thing to say. So I'll just say something outlandish and hopefully it sticks. And if it doesn't stick, I'll end up having to rewrite it in about 5 minutes because it's not taking me anywhere. So I kind of rely on those turns. I mean, they get me through the day, and then they get me through the poem too.
That's very fascinating. Sort of it mirrors the way that we navigate our actual world. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, nothing's like, your day is not that structured.
Right. It doesn't follow a linear pattern ever, really. There's one thing happening, then another thing happening, and it's neat to approach a poem in that way. So how do you, when you leap from image to image, are you drawn by last line particularly, or do you ever have like something in mind beforehand, or do you let the poem lead you?
I usually let it lead me, though sometimes I'll be collecting words or lines or sets of lines that I come up with in my head throughout the day, or you know, steal stuff from other poets or reassemble something that I've read somewhere else. So it is reaction. Usually I don't just jam those kind of things together. Like I don't really just make it a found thing. Like I got all these things and now they're slammed together. Peanut butter, cucumber sandwich. But, I will try to figure out how to layer that in just the right way. And I'll hold onto those. And I do like that because it creates a surprise to hold on to those things, because sometimes you're driving to feel a moment that will allow you to use it, while at the same time not trying to engineer something that then makes it seem a bit contrived on how you got to that point, even though like maybe there is some sort of linear sense that gets you from this point that allows you, point A to point B, that allows you to put this line in or this word in. But I think then what happens in that space is almost always the more drawing part for me. Like then I always get really wrapped up in those things that help me connect other things together. Mm-hmm. And those become even more exciting than the original word or line.
Sometimes I noticed as well too, that you build up using just words in your poems, like the repetition of certain words over and over again. So do you like to play with repetition?
I do. Yeah. I'm going through a lot of that right now where it is. And just words. no, I know what you mean. The idea of sort of removing, I am going through a project right now where I'm trying to at times remove myself from the meaning of the word and just like listen to it and let things fall into place, and then maybe let a line fall into place, and then rearrange it, rearrange the syntactical structure or tenses or parts of speech that change the texture of a line in all the ways that you could change texture, whether it's sound or visual or sense or meaning texture, and see where that sort of allows me to go in the next one. Yeah.
Cool. And then briefly, when you read the poem that has all first lines, how did you decide which one would be the first one?
That's a good question.
It's the poem of first lines.
Well, it just had to. I have no idea. Actually, I have no idea. It's broken up into single lines. So there's no stanzas, or it's not one solid a block. So they all get their chance.
Yeah.
The first one, I think. Usually, I'll use outlandish titles, but I think that one, just saying how to begin, allows it to do whatever it needs to do, but I have no idea.
Cool. Can you read a few more poems?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'm going to read one more best poem, and then I will read one poem from a new project I'm working on. So, best exit. The space between my ears goes roller coaster, chemical slick of my coffee of sleep. I am stuck between a tumbling blue, hot fuse my dinner, and the trees and a wind unseen untwine. Nothing seems good here, or is it out there? Por todos los siglos de los siglos, you said. For all the time of the time we are apart, I say. A dethroated accordion leans forward in my gaping skull, and my tongue follows you like a missile bites its handler. I fall into your footmark in snow. There is no getting out. Getting out results of functions, and functions get in the way. For you, I imagine governances best when the capitals swell with mirrors. We build a machine that dispels pockets from the land. I imagine the sight of our hands. I wear a blindfold to be with the dead, touch the sweet of your face, put my lips to the edge of your noise. Fogland. It doesn't matter if the dial is turned down-filled. Every night I pass the same house, the music ringing hard and the flood and the emergency, a test of the system's ability to bleat a little dust-fill bleach chisel. I stand in an old dark everything, so old, 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 one even sees it coming. One even shook fulcrum, cried and dreamed a few hands, few rings, this coming on just major hard but soaked in truffle oil. I wake fur-ended, concentrate image with sharp fins and away into havens. Whoever said I was welcome, whoever said I was uncertainty, what are the unholy ordinances? The grip all the way gone and moving close, nicks above skins, huddled slide in space feud and not repetition, instead building on night with night, the sound. Sound ice on wood, the sound ice on wood, living as wood and structure. I see as the sky is all around me. Throw a baby, meet an astronaut. Coming down, what huff beats are about. Our tart, the tough heart, a sprinkled mass of holes that are found, like climbed, like F words and L words, like echo without beginning or beginning unknown. Amen. I suffer and plead, your honor. I buffer and bleed on lamps, your honor. Best car fire in the snow. It doesn't go if something's doubly sunk, or does it? Freeway strung with lights and yet not one of them a guide. Today we lost the moon and sun. The best advice: be hot, be passage against the bellowed winds. A kind of circus rambles in, invades between our stitches. Weather comes and we are buried under snow, but always full of love. A giant eye and breath among the many things that fill our blood. Problems with rockets. I pull my arms down from the air. Today the land is the last remaining party at large. Evidence otherwise gets me nowhere, of course. There are ships and cattle bodies somewhere waxing the hemisphere, I know it. But what I crawl into this hole for remains saddled to limbs across the ocean floors, remains functionless and petite, so sweet. And we are to this one repeat of the end of the world as the bellies fly and confetti rain. In the twilight of this really cold living room, the ultimate pastry is held in the hands of the astronaut, with only a little space now left. Surely things are happening. The night is all sore and shades beautiful to those who don't seem to need it. Oh, great grandeur, gloria in excelsis, this glass of water. Take me far into the avenue. Take me come combustion or sweat.
The poetry of Mike Krutel. Thank you so much for being here, Mike.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Prosody, a weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a bi-weekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, Saturday mornings at 6:30, for Prosody 90.5 FM.